Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us again this week on On Point. I'm your host, A. Trey, and I hope everybody out there has a wonderful, safe, and incredibly fun and joyous 4th of July. And I would like to take a moment to introduce the illustrious, most incredible, magnificent Dr. Oh, no, just kidding. I'm kidding. See, today is about fun.
Good morning, sir. This is James. How you doing?
Fine. Dr. Moore and Lady Tree, welcome aboard as always, my incredible friend.
Good morning.
Today is our 45th episode, and we'd like to say thank you to everyone that's listening to us and that's supporting us and has our back, And then thank you for our followers as well. You've been tremendous. Thank you so much. Today, in our segment, Did You Catch That? Our topic is, what truth lies within secrets? The truth within. And this one, we're going to address a pretty serious issue about missing or stolen children. What's happening, where they're being taken, how do we locate and return them for their families. We want to address this topic, and we look to have someone to join us today as well. As we go over this, there's some pretty revelating information in regards to it. In our second segment, Behind Closed Doors, and we know we've been stepped away from it, we've been having some people ask, it's, now that you have me, why don't you want me? Kind of like a pickup of where we were before is our second half to it. And we revisit that, you know, what happens in a romance once the chase is over. And we want to hear people's input, too, when we come to it. Our number, 347-855-8662, and we want you guys to give us a call today. I'm going to start off. There's something that's a quiet epidemic. I hardly ever hear about it. And though these are different, this is exceptionally relative. There is up to, and the gap is staggering, it's up to 100 to 500,000 babies a year are switched at birth. And between those that are switched at birth, they say that 56,000 of these babies are taken, removed from their natural parents. And though the larger majority might be recovered to some degree, there are episodes or cases that have spanned decades where that wasn't the case. They said on an average is 183 children stolen a year, definitely. Done. And these come from organized situations, like the people involved are like hospitals, foster care offices, some dioceses, hospital workers. There was a hospital in Missouri shut down because of this same thing. It was Homer G. Phillips Hospital. There was a lady there just recently. She's just been reunited with her daughter after 50 years. 50 years. The stories are similar, scary, similar, and it exposed some hidden secrets and so forth. But this is over a span of 4 decades. These things have been going on. A federal human trafficking analyst was led out to this state, Missouri, and have also bordered and covered California, Florida, the Panhandle, Chicago, and Arizona. Now, though some of them might be home-based, whereas like a parent is upset and he or she might take the kid, you know, a lot of these are marketed. These are marketed actions.
Right.
Black market.
Absolutely.
Black market. Yes.
Trey, if I could, I'd like to bring on someone who could elucidate us a little bit more on that topic.
I'd like
her name is Michelle Helderman, and she's actually involved in this, and I'd like to bring her on so she can actually tell us a little bit about it. So, folks, I'd like to welcome Michelle Helderman. Michelle, how are you this morning?
Hey, I'm great. Thank you. I'm a little shook up
about
the numbers. I'm thankful to be on the show, but I regret the news that I bring forward. There are children being taken every day, and they are ran by churches, adoption agencies, doctors, midwives, attorneys and judges, police officers. I mean, they all know about this. I've suspected my son was switched at birth from day one. As soon as I woke up from a surgery, the C-section, they told me that he had died. And, of course, I had questions, and they wouldn't answer any of my questions, and they just basically wanted me to bury him without an autopsy that I wanted. And, you know, they let me see the baby. The baby didn't have a mark on his scalp from the internal monitor, which made me really suspect that it wasn't my child. So immediately, you know, before I even left the hospital, I was calling an attorney because I was denied an autopsy because they didn't have a reason for a cause of death. I wanted to know what happened. But the attorney had advised me from the hospital bed to go ahead and bury the child. And I, of course, was going to open a medical malpractice wrongful death suit because they told me he died.
That's devastating.
Although I suspected that he was switched at birth, I still had to go through what they told me to do, you know. I had no choice.
Now, Michelle, when you had to go through all this, I'm assuming you probably bumped into other folks that were having similar situations or had similar situations. What did you learn in that time frame? I know that this has been an extenuated period, and it's I'm sure that it's not been the most pleasant thing. I understand that. But I'm wondering, you know, can you kind of enlighten us as to what you encountered and maybe help somebody else out on their path as well?
Sure. I can try. A lot of these places are running homes for pregnant women, you know, giving free pregnancy tests and, you know, kind of luring them in and saying that they're going to help. And actually they try to coerce them to give the babies up for adoption. And if they don't, then they could make it happen if they really want that child. I just suggest that you know, you take matters in your own hand, get your own pregnancy test, and, you know, go to legit organizations for help if you need it.
Okay. And what would be some of those places that folks could reach out to in this particular scenario?
You know what? I can't answer that because I thought I was going to a place that was going to help me. They actually kind of coerced me into going into this place because I was going to come home to my family. We need to start something to help people, you know, women that are in this situation, because everybody needs a little help every once in a while. But these places are more interested in adopting your child out than helping you.
And how old, I'm sorry, and how old were you at the time?
I was 27.
Wow.
Yes, and actually I got kicked out of the maternity home because I was very strong-willed. I wasn't willing to give my child up for adoption. And so they kicked me out, put me and my daughter that I had, and I was pregnant, they kicked us out on the street because I wasn't willing to give my children up for adoption.
Wow. I'm so sorry that you had to go through all this, especially at a young age, but you were so headstrong, you knew that something was wrong. And it's sad, you know, when your kid can't become a kid because there's so much going on with, you know, kid kidnapping, kid being switched, your kid can't play in the front yard. It's sad when a kid can't be a kid. And then most of all, you know, you have to be on the lookout, extra careful, because some of any and everything is happening. But I hope all gets well for you, and, man, you continue to stay strong.
Did you, were you able to find some resolve to this? Were you able to get your baby back?
Well, the baby that they forced me to bury without the autopsy, it took me 6.5 years to get him exhumed, and I got a private autopsy and a DNA test on him because we need to set it in my suspicion to rest, my family's suspicion as well. So we exhumed him and brought him here to Pensacola, Florida, and hired a pathologist to do an autopsy and DNA test. Now, this is where it gets really bad. The child is a totally different size according to the medical records. There's foul play in the casket, and they're trying to tell me that the child had no DNA, and he's fully intact. He had eyelashes, eyebrows, everything, no decomposing at all. But he does not have DNA.
That's impossible. That's impossible. The moment you become, the moment you're conceived, you have DNA. You were the structure of two different individuals.
I asked them if the child was, you know, real, because how could it be possible that he didn't have DNA? Well, come to find out, the doctor, the pathologist that I hired, or I was referred to hire, he was, this was his job, to corrupt cases. He came from Missouri with revoked license here to Florida. Then he was our medical examiner appointed by Jed Bush. And he was fired as a medical examiner for falsifying autopsy reports and stealing body parts on the Joe Scarborough case when Joe Scarborough had his aide die.
But they
made him more powerful when they fired him and allowed him to practice privately here in Pensacola, Florida, because when he private practiced, he can go all across the United States and do this or do anything with any case. As a matter of fact, all right, I made a complaint with Florida Department of Health because I found out about his record. State's attorney actually told me I hired a quack. And I was like, what? What do you mean I hired a quack? You guys referred me to hire him. And if he's a quack, why is he still practicing? So I put my complaint in with Florida Department of Health, and my one complaint turned into thousands. And he eventually was revoked from the whole state of Florida. But 4 years after he was revoked, he was found to have over 100 body parts in Uncle Bob's storage unit.
Wow.
And he actually warned me about the body part story coming up. About, I don't know, I think it was 3 or 4 months before it actually happened. So now, I called, of course. I wanted to know if my son, parts of him were in there or whatever, because I didn't even know if he was buried, because the funeral home had told me they accidentally cremated him in 04. And then they said that was a mistake. And then the police were searching my home for the body. And when I found out that they searched my home illegally, I called and was, you know, trying to get all the records together, because that's what I did through this whole thing. I just collected all the records. Everything that happened, I wrote down, or I went and got the actual records. And they actually made a CAD call and came out and wanted to search my truck. So I suspected that the child was missing. When the body part story came up, I called the state's attorney, and they know me. They know me very well. And they actually got upset with me for calling them. And they were screaming at me. They told me that my son was buried. I had no idea that they buried him without me. And that they still had samples in the lab today since 04. And I said,
but why didn't they why didn't they release that to you?
I'm sorry, what?
What? Did they ever say why they didn't release it to you?
No. No. I haven't had any rights going through this whole thing. They basically wanted to just make me lose it, obviously. I have no rights. I can't even go to the funeral, the cemetery, to visit the grave, because I've been told I will be killed and it will make it look like a suicide. And I will never, ever leave my children.
That is
oh, yes,
sir.
I've been threatened and everything here, because I will not stop. I will not give up.
What was the facility you had the baby at?
Bayview Memorial. And they told me, after Hurricane Ivan, they was moving him around. I don't know why. They didn't have my permission, and there was no transit order. And there is no paper trail that he was even at Oaklawn. But I went up to Oaklawn where they said he was. There's two different funeral homes. And actually, they're all, both of these funeral homes are affiliated with the funeral home that initially buried him in the beginning. They are sisters. How ironic is that?
Wow. That is just out of control. Michelle,
it is.
You enlightened us and given us information that I'm sure there are probably plenty of people who had no idea. And those who do have some experience, maybe perhaps before you go, you can give us some information, can network with you or maybe social media or something where folks can reach out and maybe we can get a team going to kind of build up a movement to help folks like you out. So, leave us with something
and
where we can reach out to you or folks can contact you.
Great. My Facebook is Michelle Helderman, H-E-L-D-E-R-M-A-N. My website is www.searchingforjusticeandpeace.com. And I would like to add, to prevent this from happening, maybe we ought to start some homes for these women that need help. You know, if they're pregnant and they got children, we need to start our own home instead of going through all these churches that are motivated by adoption.
I agree.
I'm all
absolutely
for adoption. If it's necessary, I'm all for it. But to tell someone they are not worthy to have their child because they are, you know, in a bad way right now, that's wrong. That is really unbelievably wrong.
Thank you, Michelle.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I really appreciate you sharing this information with us. And if it's okay, once offline, I'll reach out to you, and maybe we can set up something. We can come back and give us some updates sometime in the very near future.
Sure, yes. I have a lot to do this year. My son will be 18 next year, and I'll be knocking on some doors.
Excellent. Well, good luck. Keep us posted, and we'll be reaching out.
We appreciate the courage, and thank you for joining us on One Point.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great. You guys have a great day.
You too.
All right, you too.
That
wow, that was yeah, powerful, Trey.
That was very touching, for real, and inspiring. That's hurtful at the same time.
Someone reached out.
You just never know what's going on out there.
True. And it so many things are always, and it's a cliche, you've heard it, what once happened in the dark will be brought to the light. She reached out there was something called Up for Discussion on Facebook. Feel free to check that out. If you have any questions or something to that effect, or you'd like to address what you just heard, feel free to give us a call at 347-855-8662. She reached out to us on Up for Discussion. She actually had some really poignant statements that she had made, and a lot of the things. I don't just go off of things that I hear, and I check with different things, different sources, and it was staggering. It was staggering. Some of the things that I was listening to that I read that they were, you know, conducting bananas. But that's something else that we'll address a little later as well. Moving on to our second segment, Behind Closed Doors. Now that you have me, why don't you want me? Okay, imagine this. Everything is perfect. It's going great, fantastic. It's splendid, you know, and you're loving it all. Everything is just wonderful. And all of a sudden, you get into the relationship. You're chasing after him or you're chasing after her, and you finally catch him. And it seems like everything is okay. But all of a sudden, something, it starts to wane. It slowly fades. My question is, why? Why does it fade? And it's not some dire health issue or you're separated by space. You guys share the same space. You're doing the same thing. You still have opportunity to communicate, and it's just fizzling. Why?
You know, Trey, I'm gonna jump right in on this and tell you a couple of perspectives. I think the main thing for some folks, and it's a bifurcated issue for me. I think one of the issues, the lesser of the issue, or the first, the left half of the issue, is that maybe the person really, truly did not care about you the way that they elucidated in the first place. But I think the more salient piece is that sometimes, for some people, it's about the chase. I got you now, so what's the point? Now I have to move on to something else, so my chase stays fresh. And I realistically, what I think is, I think that these are those people who are not into the agapic type love or anything like that. They're into that,
right,
that ludic love. It's about that chase. And now I've got you, I don't have to chase you anymore. But that's their adrenaline rush, is that pace. But once it's over, it's kind of like, yeah, what's the point? I think that we fall victim to both sides of us. The chaser, the one being chased.
Well, you know, something else is this. And this is just my opinion. I think it's complacency. I believe that you get to a point.
I can see that.
People get to a point. They become so freaking comfortable with what's at home. They take advantage of it. They take it for granted. You know what? The goodies are in the room, so what? I'll get it later. And at that time, the other person is like, yeah, the goodies are in the room, but they need to be serviced, damn it. And that's real.
You know,
as an adult, that's real.
Trey, but I have to ask this question of you. Does a person who truly care about someone become complacent? Because I'm of the mind that they don't. You can't. Because if you have a kid, and your job is to take care of your kid and constantly show that kid love. That's natural. That's built in. It's built into your genes, more or less. Okay? Now, scientifically, I know there's some variances there. But I'm saying it's built into your genes to love that person. You don't become complacent with your kid. Say, I'm not going to feed you today. I'm not going to give you your sustenance. But in a relationship, it's easy for some folks to do that. And in a relationship, that sustenance is love, it's caring, it's confidence, it's all those other things. So my perspective on it, my
everything
take on
the Corinthians
it,
said. Okay, go ahead.
that's a different topic for a different date to a certain degree. But I'm just saying, if my way of feeding you is my sustenance that I give you, I'm not going to become complacent and not give you those things. And on the converse, I wouldn't expect the person I'm with to become complacent and not give me those things. Additionally, if you mentioned it to them, like, hey, mentioned it to them and said, hey, look, you're not giving me X, Y, and Z, and this is my sustenance, and they still refuse, that's not complacency in my book. I think that becomes a very deliberate thing.
Okay, but here's something else. Here's something else. And complacency actually has a different, has a different face. It has a different approach. You know, have you ever been somewhere and go like this? You don't know it. You don't recognize complacency sometimes. You know, you're home, everything is wonderful, joy. And you go like, hey, man, you going to go watch the fight? Oh, yeah, I want to watch the fight. But, you know, I got my girl. Or, you know, girl, you going to go out with us tonight? Because, you know, we going to be doing our thing. What we do our thing as we do our thing, how we do our thing. Yeah, I know, but I got boo-boo at home. And Bae, you know, you don't recognize it. But it's like, yeah, I got one of those. And that is a form of complacency. When you're sitting on the couch and you're watching a movie together and she put her toes on your toes because you got your feet up on the ottoman or in another chair, you know, you live in ghetto fabulous, and she put your toes on your toes, and then all of a sudden you just move your toe a little over, scratch your feet, and she goes, ah, I hate when you do that. I've always hated that. That's a form of complacency. They allow certain things to happen, he or she, because, you know, that keeps you quiet. See, it's so easy to take things for granted. It's outlandishly easy. All you have to do is know that you have it and forget that you have to care about it. That's
you got it.
But see, Trey, I have to respectfully disagree with perspective just a little bit. And I think that there's a fine line between complacency and abuse. I think when you take something for granted, see your perspective of complacency, but I think that's
I agree with you there, but I agree with you there, but here's the thing. It's only abuse from the in the eyes of the person not receiving it. To the person
that would be my definition. Yes, I would agree.
That's the norm. And at that point, complacency set in. I'm comfort, excessive comfort. That chimes in. That takes hold of you. The kisses stop, but you can hold a hand. Then the funny little glances stop, because you can hold, but you can look at them. The sex stops, but, you know, you can talk about it. And
the
all
communication.
Of a sudden, Yes.
Ooh, Trey, we're going to have to bring this back up, because I think this would be a good discourse, because I think you and I both have valid points, and I think they're on a different side of the same coin, maybe even a little bit on the edge. And I see your point about complacency. I understand it. But I'm the logical dude. I'm not the emotional guy. I'm like looking at it like, hey, it's about abuse. But I understand we're out of time. But brother, we got to bring this one back up.
We're going to jump back on that. And we want to hear a little bit more from Lady Treese. And I apologize if I was fucking over your words. Everybody,
no, it's okay.
raise your glasses. Bottoms to the top. Remember, every thought you have is great, and every idea is warranted. And for every endeavor you take, and every step you make, and every plan you devise, I hope they're always on point.
On point.
On point.
Until next week, we'll see you later.
Peace.